one can tell you the news.
Sherlock, Diamond is hooked.
Mark Zuckerberg will end up, and it's going to be a face without the book.
Without the face.
Hey, Megan, how are you?
Now they're chipping away at the normalization of pedophilia, and the left is embracing this type of behavior.
We welcome Dinesh D'Souza.
I know I ticked him off. In a certain sense, it's a giant up yours to Obama, and that's why the left is freaking out over it.
Jack Kennedy and LBJ, Clinton, and the double standard from the left.
Yeah, I love how the left does nothing but push the most bizarre practices down our throats and up our tailpipes.
It takes a real man to tackle the hot issues that really matter.
Michael Hart is the man of this house.
Welcome to the Michael Hart Show.
October 2019, and you're listening to the Michael Hart Show right here on the Heart of America Broadcasting Network. Just a little bit of quick housekeeping, as the folks that control the platform of this program have informed me, we're undergoing a little bit of maintenance today. Hopefully that's not going to have an impact or an effect on what we are speaking to on this edition, Mayhem in the Media edition of the program. Today's broadcast brought to you by our friends over at Land Report. Landreport.com for all of your land needs. If you love big ranches, big land, wide open spaces, go check them out. Landreport.com. And as always, our good friends over at Liberty One Tech. That's Liberty. Type in the number one tech.com, LibertyOneTech.com, for all of your web tech support. And of course, our friends, which is me and others, my associates over at the Unknown America Project, myths and little known oddities about the greatest nation on earth. And that's pretty much foundational to what we discuss on this program every day as we try to break down the news of the day through the prism of the past. The last 72 hours or so, we've seen a lot of new news breaking related to Syria in particular, but other things going on in the news that would lead you to believe that the news media is as biased and fake as, well, the Trump administration has pointed out, and frankly, we pointed out for the last decade and a half on this program in whatever format it might have taken. So we're going to get a little bit into the history of the yellow journalism today. And again, this is the Mayhem in the Media edition, as a new Project Veritas undercover recording made by the alleged whistleblower captures CNN employees casually confirming the network's very anti-Trump bias, and show company president Jeff Zucker telling top news executives to focus solely on impeachment, even at the expense of other important news, according to the conservative activist group that posted the bombshell footage online. And again, this is James O'Keefe and the people over at Project Veritas. Also, troubled ABC fails in the integrity in reporting camp as well. So what's going on in the American news media, and what does the future hold for the Fourth Estate? Plus, your calls, this day in history, and so much more. When the time is right, and this ain't it, the number to call is 929-477-3761, 929-477-3761. Those of you that are new listeners to the program, and you've just discovered us, and we get the new folks popping by almost every day, and we appreciate that, need to realize that this program is painted with breaking down the news of the day through the prism of the past, because if you do not understand history, or you're not up to speed on certain aspects of history, then much of what's going on in the news does not make as much sense to you as it possibly should. This also happens to be what we speak on when we go out to high schools or colleges or corporate events or whatever the case may be, particularly historical societies or people that make their living with a history degree, for example, whether it's in communication or law or whatever the case may be, how the media, and it's gotten worse in recent years, is not the friend of the truth, is not the friend of reality, certainly is not a friend of the national correct news narrative. And so we're going to break some of that down today, as we have an awful lot to cover. And to give you an example of what I'm talking about, a couple of days ago, last time we were on the air, which I believe was last Thursday. And we've been a little bit spotty in our broadcast lately just because we have so many things going on and so many deadlines that we're up against. We're coming into the holiday season and trying to get things up and on the shelves so that people can enjoy them for the holidays. And I'm speaking about the children's version of the book and a few other things that we're working on. And believe it or not, I've even worked on a children's book that has nothing to do with the Unknown America Project, nothing to do with news or anything. It actually has to do with, believe it or not, Golden Doodle, but I'll save that for a different day. But the point is, got a lot of things going on. So the last time we were together, we were talking about a poll that was put out that put Donald Trump, first off, the impeachment popularity of Donald Trump, and it showed that a good portion of the country, up to 50% in some corners, actually favored impeachment of the president. Well, now, as we have often reported on this program, that poll has proven to be completely fabricated. And we mentioned during that broadcast that, frankly, it probably was. And again, we have been pointed out to be correct because we are not just a matter of doing a podcast a couple times a week or three or four times a week. You know, I'm a veteran news broadcaster, and I've been doing this for 15 years on the internet, on terrestrial signals, and in a whole host of other places, speaking events, whatever the case may be. And if you'd like more information, go over to Heart of America. It's H-A-R-T. heartofamerica.net. There's a way to contact the program and contact me and the people, the schedulers to take care of my speaking schedule. If you'd like to have more information about how we can come out and talk about the relationship between the media and history and news, et cetera, we'd be more than happy to do that. So again, that's just heartofamerica.net. But just to kind of give you a little bit of what is going on around us in the world today, and we'll start with ABC. And ABC has stepped all in it. And what's really concerning is the fact that it's either a matter of using information that was not vetted or not caring. And sometimes it's difficult to make a determination as to what the inspiration, if you will, for any particular fact that's being reported, where it emanates from. And ABC News has been busted for using a video footage in a report on Turkey's military attacking Kurdish civilians. Now, the situation was they actually broadcast footage from the Knob Creek machine gun shoot and claimed it as Turkey's military bombing of Kurdish civilians in Syria. To give you an idea of the, and I realize that, yes, this is audio and probably lends itself a little bit better to doing more on the YouTube channel, which, by the way, you can subscribe to that at Heart of America. But just to give you a little bit of a taste, the actual clip itself was about 4 minutes long. We're only going to play about 20 or 30 seconds of the report that shows supposedly the Turks attacking the Kurds, when in fact it was nothing more than footage from an American gun range. But listen to the intensity of the show's host.
Situation rapidly spiraling out of control in northern Syria. 1 week since President Trump ordered U.S. forces out of that region, effectively abandoning America's allies in the fight against ISIS. This video right here appearing to show Turkey's military bombing Kurd civilians in a Syrian border town. The Kurds, who fought alongside the U.S. against ISIS. Now, horrific reports of atrocities committed by Turkish-backed fighters on those very allies. A reporter, take a look at this live-streaming video when a convoy is hit by a Turkish airstrike.
Now, the host in this case was David Muir, and he reports on how the situation, again, is rapidly spiraling out of control in Syria. But apparently, they either didn't do their due diligence or they lacked the elbow grease to go out and get legitimate footage. They just dug up some footage of people firing machine guns. In this case, it was recognized by many as being a video from this particular facility, the Knob Creek machine gun shoot, and was put out as though it was vetted news on ABC. The good news, no men, women, children, or anybody else for that matter, were injured or killed in the fake news clip because, of course, the Knob Creek Range is, again, just a domestic range where it is run by professionals and, you know, everyone's pretty much safe and sound. Hundreds of thousands of rounds are fired each year at this particular facility. and nobody gets hurt unless they trip or fall walking behind the firing line. According to the Knob Creek Machine Gun Shoot, it stands as the very serious gun lovers should do in their lifetime, and seeing the shoot at night, well, you don't forget that, because there's video after video after video after video here of what's taking place. And basically, it's a bunch of folks going out to the woods and blasting stuff. But again, ABC News uses it, and it's a very, very, I call it a volatile video. And it gives it creates this illusion that the Turks are unmitigatingly unleashing hell on Kurdish civilians. But again, as the president has pointed out numerous times, it's nothing but fake news. Now, I also want to get into this Project Veritas thing, but I'm going to tell you right now, the media does this kind of crap all the time, and it does happen on the right. And let me give you a little bit of inside baseball. Sean Hannity used to have a caller, and I believe he said he drove a Honda Prius. Now, as I understand it, Prius is made by Toyota. And Hannity got to the point where he's always calling him Mr. Honda Prius, Mr. Honda Prius. If you guys listen to talk radio at the time, you might remember that particular caller. Now, obviously, the caller was wrong about the make and model of his car. And Hannity would call him out and then use the fact that this guy was, it's been on for months, constantly doubling down on the fact that he drove this Honda Prius. And Hannity would just obliterate this guy's point, saying, you can't even get the manufacturer of your car right. So we know you're lying through your teeth. And of course, I'm paraphrasing, blah, 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 blah. There are organizations, and I've never done it, I've never felt the need to do it, but there are organizations that will rent what are referred to as seed callers. Seed callers are callers that will call into a radio program, whether it be local, national, or regional, just like this guy did, so the host can tee them up and fire them off. It happens all the time. These people are paid anywhere from $100 to $200 per call. Don't go out there looking for these opportunities now, because quite frankly, they're few and far between, as that particular practice has been outed. It's absolutely imperative that people understand that journalism is an entertainment industry, period. And I realize we go to the news for our facts, but if you're not willing to do your research, you will be the victim of being lied to. Let me give you a little kind of an example, which is not really lying to you, but just a little bit of inside baseball. And I've shared this before. Sometimes, particularly if you're listening to a country and western music station or a rock and roll station or whatever the case may be, there'll be an interview. And it'll be the host of any particular program interviewing, let's just say, Garth Brooks. And I'm pulling that completely arbitrarily out of the air. And you'll hear the host asking, well, Garth, how's your new album doing? Oh, my album's doing fantastic. Thanks for asking. Hey, Garth, and how's the tour going? Oh, the tour's kicking A. We're going to be all over the country this spring, summer, fall, whatever. Hey, Garth, you know, how's that diet working out for you? Oh, I've lost 6 pounds. The thing is, you'll notice in a lot of cases that the celebrity that's being interviewed never refers to the host by name. Now, it does, you know, sometimes they do because they're legitimate interviews. But what happens is these celebrities, when they're in these promotional tours, the people that are producing the tours will have a public relations firm or publicist, whatever the case may be, and they'll come together with 5 or 6 interview questions. They'll ask the questions on the air, any air, as they're recording it behind a microphone. The host or the guest, in this case, the celebrity, will answer the questions. Then that audio of the celebrity is sent off to stations all around the country, accompanied by the list of questions. And then the host of the program, whatever local program that might be, goes in studio, records the questions in his own voice, then splices them into the response by the celebrity, creating the illusion the host is actually interviewing the celebrity. What the exact same questions are being asked over and over and over again all across the country from station to station to station by different DJs. Now, is this 100% of the time? No, of course not, because I've done interviews for years and years and years, and they're always done live. Well, I'd probably say 5% of them have to be pre-recorded. But the point is, the media creates this illusion for the purposes of entertainment. And it's not that there's anything wrong with it, particularly when you're interviewing a rock star or a country or Western star. It doesn't really matter. But you have to understand that so much of what we're seeing today is packaged for consumption. And this is not new. It is something you need to know. But it goes back to the days of what was commonly referred to as yellow journalism. Now, yellow journalism or yellow press are terms for journalism and associated newspapers that present little or no legitimate, well-researched news, while instead using eye-catching headlines for increased sales. Techniques may include exaggerations of news, ABC, events, scandal mongering, or sensationalism. By extension, the term yellow journalism is used today as a pejorative that decries any journalism that treats news in an unprofessional or unethical fashion. We're not talking about the Daily World News or whatever. We're not talking about the tabloids. We're talking about legitimate news outlets that sensationalize stories for ears and eyes. But you have to know the history behind yellow journalism, and you would also have to realize that many journalism students would have studied the practice. And the practice goes back to 1883. That's right, you see, yet again, knowing history, knowing the history behind the news of the news of the news, if you don't know it, you won't get it. In 1883, Joseph Pulitzer purchased the New York World after making the St. Louis Post-Dispatch the dominant daily in New York City. In that city, rather. Pulitzer strove to make the New York World an entertaining read and filled the papers with pictures and games and contests that drew in new readers. A lot of the pages were filled with crime stories with headlines like, "Was he a suicide?" and "Screaming for mercy." In addition, Pulitzer only charged readers 2 cents per issue, but gave the readers 8 and sometimes 12 pages of information. The only other 2 cent paper in the city never exceeded 4 pages. Now, while there were many sensational stories in the New York World, they were by no means the only pieces or even dominant ones. Pulitzer believed newspapers were public institutions with a duty to improve society. And that's important to realize, a duty to improve society. So he puts the World, the New York World, into the case of what he referred to as social reform. Now, we're in the 1880s, folks. However, just 2 years after Pulitzer took it over, the New York World, becoming the highest circulation paper in New York, aided in part, and by the way, I'm taking this from a white paper. I'm loving this stuff. 2 years after Pulitzer takes over the New York World, it becomes the highest circulation paper in New York, aided in part by its strong ties to the Democrat Party. Older publishers, envious of his success, began criticizing the New York World, harping on its crime stories and stunts while ignoring the more serious reporting. Trends which influenced the popular perception of yellow journalism. A guy by the name of Charles Dana, who was the editor of the New York Sun, attacked the World and said Pulitzer was, quote, deficient in judgment and staying in power. Now, Pulitzer's approach made a big impact on William Randolph Hearst. Hearst actually was an heir of a mining magnate who acquired the San Francisco Examiner from his father in 1887. Let me hit that one more time. 1887. Hearst read the World while studying at Harvard and resolved to make the Examiner as bright as Pulitzer. Now, from one biography of the man, under his leadership, the Examiner devoted 24% of its space to crime, presenting the stories as morality plays, and sprinkled adultery and nudity on the front page. About a month after Hearst took over the paper, the Examiner ran the headline about a hotel fire, all in caps, "Hungry, frantic flames. They leapt madly upon the splendid pleasure palace of the Bay of Monterey, encircling Del Monte and their ravenous embrace from pinnacle to foundation, leaping higher and higher." You can see it just goes on. It almost feels like Ayn Rand actually wrote that piece. "Rushing in upon the trembling guest with savage fury, appalled and panic-stricken and breathless fugitive gaze upon the scene of abject terror." And it goes on from there and there and there. The point is, we get into the yellow journalism battles between Hearst and Pulitzer in the mid-1880s, giving birth to yellow journalism, which has been a mainstay at times of the current condition of news in this country, and the competition in New York in particular was fierce. And that is what's going on in the country today, because the news outlets are no longer broadcasting the news. And in many cases, they never really did. They always had a slant or a spin every single time. When I was in the seminar business, speaking about the media in particular, I used to teach business owners how to get free publicity for their companies. And my opening line always was, did you know that on any given day, up to 70% of all the news you read, hear, or see on radio or television is released, pitched, distributed, slanted, or spun by somebody not in the media? The media has been long dependent on people for insights from which they can build their stories. There are media outlets, organizations like Sisyon, for example, PR Newswire, PR News Web, where HARO is another one, it's an acronym for Help a Reporter Out, where reporters doing a story can put out what's called a query. And if you are subscribed, if you're in the media or you're looking for publicity, because a lot of these things are actually free, others are very expensive to work with and be subscribed to. They put the query out looking for information on, you know, dads that dress their dogs up as candy canes, whatever the hell. The story can be anything. But a lot of times when you're looking at these queries, they get pretty deep. There was a lot that came out during all the 1619 chatter about the 1619 project. And I was looking at one particular query that was from a newspaper that you would recognize. But at the very bottom, it'll say, looking for someone, I'm paraphrasing, looking for someone that can respond to the living conditions in Jamestown, 1609-1619, and the impact on slavery in the New World. Then you go down a little bit further, it tells you who's asking, how to contact them, and then the requirements. The requirements might be historian or national professor or anything, you know, typically you would think hierarchy, right? But on a lot of them, they'll say requirements, and then they'll say a little line, anyone can respond. Now, you think about what I just told you there. Then the reporter gets responses to these queries, typically done by email, and will go through them and look for the responses that best support their own viewpoints. And that's what makes the cut. They don't vet the sources. Get that again. They do not vet sources. It is rare beyond compare. And that is why whenever ABC was putting this program together about the Turks attacking Syria, they wanted some video. They probably had some intern get us some video. The intern's thinking, hey, all we need is bombs blasting in air and machine gun fire. Didn't matter what it was. And it was presented as though it was an attack on Kurdish civilians. That kind of crap happens every day of the week. This is one of the reasons why we don't get a straight narrative in this country. It's one of the reasons why you can call it orphan, if you will. I prefer orphan. Some people call it independent media, like this program actually exists. People that have been inside these newsrooms, people that have been behind the firing lines, people that have seen the way the sausage is made. And if you are not up to speed on that and you take everything from the media at face value, you will get your ass burned. Capiche? And I cannot emphasize that enough. When I speak at events, whether it has to do with history or the news media or the media's relationship with history, I am very quick to point this out. Last week, we also got into impeachment and resignations of Spiro Agnew leading up to Watergate, because news and history also tends to be cyclical. But if you're not up to speed with what happened with Agnew in the 70s, then what's happening now with Trump in the 19-teens or whatever we're in, 2019, it looks as though it's unique and isolated when it's not. And for the life of me, I do not understand why people do not see this. Now, going back to Pulitzer for just a moment, much of his effort supported by the Democrat Party of the day. And then his personal notion that his papers were responsible for societal reform. When you tune into a station, let's just say a radio station, and for those of you that knew me from the terrestrial days, you know who I worked for. It was a company that was statedly Christian, statedly conservative, and statedly faith-based. But you knew that going in because we reminded you of it every 5 minutes. It wasn't a matter of just tuning into somebody without knowing what their particular personal, or in this case, corporate philosophical ideology was. You knew it. We were a God and country station. You're going to get a Christian perspective on the news of the day. But in the environment of today's news, that's not always so clear. And then you add in things, which is funny as all living heck, it really is, things like the Sacramento Bee, satirical websites, or other ones like The Onion, not so satirical, but there are people out there that believe this stuff wholeheartedly. There are people out there that believe that the Obamas are being sued because Sasha and Melania, or whatever her name is, Malaya, whatever the other daughter's name is, real father is suing the Obamas because he doesn't have access to his daughters. What? Kiss my A. That's a bunch of BS. But it's out there. And it's all, and people repeat it on social media. In a world where there's nothing social about social media any longer. But a lot of the people that own these big companies, these big news conglomerates, they have personal agendas. They have personal ideologies. They think they have personal duties to save America and Americans from themselves in a social sense. And when we come back on the other side, we're going to get a little deeper into CNN, Jeff Zucker, and Project Veritas, and play some very troubling audio. And I'm going to warn you right up front, it's a little hard to understand in places. So we'll paraphrase, or we'll give you the direct quotes from people like Hiram Gonzalez, the floor producer at CNN, some of the claims that he's made and made about President Trump. I don't care. I legitimately do not care. If you believe me, I have nothing to gain by changing someone's opinion. That's what we've tried to do with the YouTube channel. We've been a little sluggish in getting new stuff up there because we've just been so overwhelmed with opportunities. That we are working on that diligently. It's why we ask for your support us through Patreon or whatever the case may be, because frankly, we need help. We're trying to get as much out there as we can. But whether or not we're talking about impeachment or the news or the 1619 project or what's going on in our schools, whatever the case may be, whatever you think you know, the overwhelming majority of the time, as I have pointed out in my seminars, is pitched or slandered or spun to create a particular narrative. If you do not use the national news as a benchmark for trending stories and for entertainment, you will fall victim to their complete rubbish of information. Because at the end of the day, it is all sensationalized. Because whereas in the olden days, any given city had a couple newspapers, three TV stations, three or four or five radio stations, and that's all. Now we've got that and cable news, Yahoo News, how many news portals? Politico, Red State, Fox News, MSNBC. You've got the HuffPo, and it goes on and on and on. And your kids are getting their news from Instagram or Snapchat News, or that's 22-year-old redhead named Amber with 20 million people reading her blog that she's writing every day from her university dorm room without a clue in hell if what she's writing is even remotely factual. The national news media, which is entertainment, is in full-blown panic mode, just like Pulitzer was in 1883, to capture the ears and the eyes of people that could support their sponsors and help them make a buck while they're laughing all the way to the bank, knowing full well they have just fooled you to no end, but they don't give a tinker's damn as long as those dollars come in. We'll be right back. Heart of America and the Michael Hart Show is brought to you in part by the Unknown America Project. Unknown America myths and little known oddities about the greatest nation on earth explores many of the falsehoods and fallacies and revisions in American history that impact the beliefs and the thoughts of many people in this country today. So if you'd like to learn some of the most enduring myths that have been perpetrated on the American public for the last 100 plus years in this country, go check out the book at heartofamerica.net. That's heartofamerica.net. And pick up a copy of Unknown America. It comes out to you absolutely no shipping. It'll be autographed, and we'll even send you a copy of the United States Constitution is our way of saying thanks. So support the Unknown America Project by simply going to theunknownamerica.com, and thank you for your support.
Don't you hate it when your computer is running slow? Did you know that could be a sign of viruses, spyware, or Trojan horses giving hackers access to your private data? Do not let your identity be stolen. Do not let your private documents be made public. Do not let a hacker hold your family photos hostage. Do let the industry-leading security experts at Liberty One Tech ensure that your computer and network are safe. Liberty One Tech will also help secure your online accounts to keep hackers out and make sure you never lose access. It's all free when you join the Talk Text Plus service. With Talk Text Plus, you have unlimited VIP access to expert technology help 7 days a week so that you can always make the right click. Sign up today and get the free security checkup at libertyonetech.com. That's Liberty, the number one, tech.com.
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like, dumb. I'm smart and I want respect.
You're listening to Mike the Hart Show here on the Heart of America Broadcasting Network. Phones are 929-477-3761. Before we get out of the phones, I want to get a little bit deeper into this CNN thing. You know, CNN is on every damn screen, on every newspaper in America, airport in America. They buy the contract for that. So you got people all across this country zipping here and flying there, getting brainwashed every single day. And, well, if you're doing that, if you're sitting in the airport watching CNN, you're just wasting your time. I mean, you know, if you're going to the gym and you're working out, you're pumping iron and you're getting on a Stairmaster or whatever the case may be, and then you're heading over to the pizza buffet afterwards, what the hell? What's in your mind? You're wasting your time. Well, CNN is wasting your time. Undercover recordings made by the group over at Project Veritas captures CNN employees casually confirming the network's anti-Trump bias and how show company President Jeff Zucker, and I mean show company, telling top news executives to focus solely on impeachment, even at the expense of other news. Now, this, according to Project Veritas, this thing group that got Acorn, amongst others. Now, the audio that I've got here, it opens up with Zucker. It'll let you listen to this, but on the video itself, you can see Zucker actually uttering these words. And then I want to take a look at this audio, or play the audio, of Hiram Gonzalez, who's actually a senior floor producer at CNN. Now, what we're going to play here for you is Zucker and then one of his employees and then one of the representatives of actually Project Veritas explaining what's going on here, and then get a little bit deeper into the piece itself. This is opening up with Zucker. Clean the wax out of your ears so that you can hear it clearly.
Good morning, everybody. Okay, let's start with Washington, please. I don't care about the MSNBC event, okay? I don't care about them. Let's just stay very focused on impeachment.
My name is Kerry Porch. I'm a satellite uplink technician. I'm a contractor at the CNN Washington, D.C. Bureau.
But Jeff Zucker, basically president of CNN, has a personal vendetta against Trump. It's not going to be positive for Trump. He hates him. Yeah. He's going to be negative.
I decided to wear a hidden camera.
Immediate creative response to
it. It's more and more creative response to it. I want you to get me full play every single day. Immediate creative response.
I decided to secretly record the 9 a.m. rundown call meetings, and it's basically run by Jeff Zucker, the president of CNN.
We're moving towards impeachment. I mean, we shouldn't pretend, this is going one way, and so all these moves are moves towards impeachment.
When I came to work at CNN, I mean, it was my dream job, and that dream actually just turned into a nightmare.
So I do want to say on the Instagram front, I know that there's a lot of people at CNN that are friendly with Instagram. Time to knock that off, and it's time to call them out.
And I think what's going on in America now is really fundamentally the result of years of fake news, nonsense from Fox News.
He was calling Fox News fake news and a propaganda machine, and with what I saw, I'm like, that's pretty much what CNN was. Like, it's just pumping out propaganda.
So what's going on in newsrooms across America, at least on the liberal side, and it happens in all media, show hosts, reporters, editors, etc., depending on what type of media it is, gather in boardrooms and discuss the fare of the day. Now, when I was on a terrestrial signal, not one time was I told what to say. Some of that came from the company's trust of my viewpoints. Others came from the fact that I was a senior host at that particular station. There are a lot of radio hosts, they live in Alabama as well, that are completely full of crap. There are a lot of them who share viewpoints that you probably would not appreciate if you knew that theirs were a little different than what they publicly project. There are a lot of talk radio hosts throughout the country, and Alabama is not unique, where the show host doesn't even use their real name on the air. I will not tell you who they are. I do not think that there's any integrity in doing so. There's a lot of good people in media, but at the end of the day, they know it's an entertainment industry. They do talk, they do plan, they do plot. Before I get to the calls, I want to play this one more 10-second piece of audio. This guy's name is Hiram Gonzalez. He is a senior floor producer at CNN. And he is talking to a reporter from Project Veritas, not knowing who he is. And he makes the point, and you got to listen in. I've zeroed in on this audio. But Gonzalez is telling the guy from Veritas that they created Trump the monster because it was giving them something to constantly. They've got to create an issue. They've got to. Please get that through your head. In a tragic story here out of Alabama some years ago, the kidnapping and suspected death of Natalie Holloway was every single day for 6 months. It's the only thing Greta Van Susteren spoke of. It gave her show a meteoric spike in ratings, and when the case wound down, she was gone because she became a one-issue program. It wasn't the veteran Greta Van Susteren show, it was the Natalie Holloway update hosted by Greta. These news organizations typically will zoom in. The OJ trial was the same thing. Lacey Peterson, the list goes on and on and on and on. Get that through your head. Get that through the liberals' heads. This is the reason this program exists. These talking heads that we tune into every single day are not going to look you square in the eye or through their TV camera and tell you I'm full of crap. Only people like me can do that because I got nothing to lose. I got no corporate sponsorship. I ain't making no money. This is a labor of love. I got to get my ass out the door in a couple of hours and go out and make a real living that'll keep me on the street 6 days a week so that I can fund this effort because in my world, it's that important. Because I know what's really going on. And I'll tell you something else, too. When somebody's willing to do something and receive no financial compensation for doing it, you better damn well depend on it being factual. This is Hiram Gonzalez, and then we're going to go out to the phones admitting that they created Trump the monster just so they could exploit it. Listen close.
The media created this monster. I'm going to get him full play every single day. The media created the Trump monster.
The media created the Trump monster. One more.
The media created this monster. The media created the Trump monster.
If you want to be lied to, if for some reason that gets your rocks off, feel free to do so, but just understand that there is nothing, there's no valor in being stupid, and you do so at your own risk. 929-477-3761. Let's talk to Clark. Hello, Clark. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, Michael. You doing all right?
Oh, pretty good.
Good deal. So, and I'm going somewhere with this, so just give me a half a second. I get in the truck yesterday, leave work, and I'm on my way home, and the phone rings. And I answer the phone, and I am informed that this is the Social Security Administration calling me to let me know that they are suspending my Social Security number because of my fraud and crimes. And if I do not respond to this, my fraud will be considered deliberate, and they will come after me. And if I would like to speak to a Social Security officer, I can press 1. So I pressed 1. And somewhere, I don't know, maybe in Mumbai, somebody answered the phone. And they said, hello, Social Security officer. And I suggested that they go perform a Natrilax. And they referred to me as the terminal portion of the digestive tract and hung up on me. And I got to thinking about this, Michael. You know, these people, they paid for a 1-800 number to call me from. I can hear people in the background, so they got multiple people answering phones. They've got a pretty decent financial investment in this operation, right?
Right.
And the person on the other end of the phone was not at all surprised when I wasn't enthusiastic about their scam. But they've got to have enough people that will fall for that and give them the information so they can get money out of an account or whatever it is they're up to, to where it pays them to keep doing it, right?
Absolutely.
Now, it's the same thing with the media. They don't expect their propaganda to influence large percentages of the people, but it will affect enough people to make it worth their doing, don't you think?
I think you're pretty much spot on.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and it's just more of the same. Now, I don't know. You look at what's going on right now with Adam Schiff and this impeachment thing. I'm not sure which is more poorly done, my call from the Social Security Administration yesterday or this thing that Schiff's put together. But they're both pretty transparent when you start looking at them, don't you think?
They're only transparent, Clark, to people that are wise or street savvy enough to see the transparency. We have gotten into a place in this country where, and it's taken many, many years, and this is not a political statement, but where we regard people in quasi positions of authority or celebrity or anything of that nature, sports celebrities as well, that they, like, you know, Kaepernick, that because they're famous or they're well known or they're in a position of hierarchy, that they're automatically to be trusted. And there are just too many people in this country that fall for that scam. And that's exactly what it is. And that's the reason we get assault against children. That's the reason that we get, you know, the so many of the aspects of people falling for this stuff and then repeating it on social media. You've got school teachers that are taking advantage of their pupils, cops that are stepping out of line in some cases. That's not a bust on the first responders because they're great people for the most part. But you have people that are too willing. There's a story here that I have about Mount Laurel. Laurel bringing up, showing his tallywhacker to some woman. And then we've got Jeffrey Epstein and Harvey Weinstein and all the other people, ironically enough, in the media and entertainment fields that are preying on these people that are unable to defend themselves, don't know how to defend themselves, afraid to defend themselves, are not smart enough to see that they're being lied to. And it is the damnedest thing. I mean the absolute damnedest thing. I heard a talk program about a week ago, some woman just raising hell with the host. I don't even remember the show, where she was making the argument, if we impeach Donald Trump, then automatically Hillary Clinton wins and becomes president. And I'm thinking, woman, what kind of a dumbass are you? Please just go somewhere and do whatever, you know, hit your meth pipe or whatever the case may be and leave the adults alone. But that portion of the population, in my opinion, is in fact growing. But you're right. There is a victim mentality. Social Security scam you're talking about is pretty much spot on. But I think you can only see through it if you're wise enough and you've been in the streets long enough. And I have people in my universe, Clark, that simply do not understand how volatile and vicious the world around them really is. And it worries me and concerns me every single day.
Well, you know, to me, the transparency in this whole shift thing is de facto the secrecy. They're having secret meetings. They're having secret accusers, secret proceedings. How come you do something in secret, Michael? By definition, why do you do something in secret?
Because you don't want to be found out.
You don't want someone to know what's actually going on, right?
Right.
And here, everything that's being done here, I mean, Gates is not allowed to sit in on this thing. You know, we're never going to see Volcker's testimony. It does not support their case. If they actually had anything, they would be perfectly happy to do it all wide out in the open, wouldn't they?
Perfectly happy? They'd be parading it out there, Clark.
I know. They would be giddy to do it in the open if they had anything. The fact that they're doing all this in secret, you know that by definition they don't have anything. So anyway, hey, can we talk about this Syrian pullout for just a minute?
Sure.
I know we talked about it last week. You know, sitting here thinking, turning the whole thing around, looking at it, considering it, I think probably we, i.e. Donald Trump, had a choice. We could support the Kurds against Turkey, in which case Turkey would have allied with Russia, which would have put them indirectly allied with Iran. And I hate it for the Kurds, but that's not a good combo for the U.S., is it? Now,
no,
his other choice...
No, and Clark, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you and I had this conversation.
Go ahead.
All right, we got a little bit of a delay, so go ahead.
All right, so if we don't support the Kurds and we pull out of that 20-mile strip that's being contested, I don't know that that gives Erdogan, Turkey, any warm and fuzzy feelings for us, but it does not drive them into an alliance with Russia. And you know that as soon as we're not there, the Kurds will ally with Russia. And so that kind of ensures that Turkey does not ally with Russia. And it indirectly sets up a situation where Turkey and Iran are going to be in conflict in the Middle East. Now, you know, if you go back to when we removed Saddam Hussein and the vacuum that was created there, you no longer had a blocking force to keep Iran contained. You put Turkey in play there, and down the road, that's beneficial for the United States. Now, the media is never going to talk about this in these terms, and Trump's not going to talk about it in these terms because he doesn't necessarily want everybody to know overseas why he's making the decisions he's making. And I'm not saying that this is the way it happened. I'm just saying it's a possibility. And it's very bad for the Kurds. But, you know, instead of us having 1,000 troops over there, if we'd have pushed this supporting the Kurds, we'd probably end up with 250,000 troops over there. And then Trump's got the media up his ass because he's gotten us into World War III, et cetera, et cetera. When, you know, the fact of the matter is 50 years of policy has led us to this point. But anyway, I don't know. I guess that's looking at it more deeply than most people are going to look at it. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, Michael, if Donald Trump stayed up every night, which he does, I think, and came up with a cure for childhood cancer, the media would run a story the next day about how horribly he had impacted pediatric oncologists.
Yeah, it would. Because
you know,
that's all they have.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter what he does, it's going to be negative. And I don't know, you were going to say something before I like went into the long-winded deal there.
It was just an observation, Clark, about Syria and the fact that, you know, we've already said it before, and it almost exhausts me to even say it again, but you cannot apply Western democracy into a region that is tribal and does not understand democracy in any sense whatsoever. You've had tribal wars in the region for 15, 16, 1700 years now. There's no upside whatsoever to us remaining there. Yes, we do have troops over there that are, they're keeping the Kurds safe. But let's think of it from this perspective for just a moment. We pull out, and of course, you know, ADC is going to make the Turks look like they're just, you know, demons from hell, bombing Kurdish children, blah, 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 blah. In the same time, and you know this to be local, you know, we got a 3-year-old girl missing here in Alabama. Some people are suspicious of the fact she might have been intentionally abducted for reasons that are not entirely clear, which is why we now have a multi-state Amber Alert system going on and the FBI involved. We've got human trafficking issues in this country. We've got veterans sleeping under bridges. We've got an opioid crisis. We have crisis after crisis after crisis. I'm not suggesting we bring home our military to deal with those crises, but it's time, as Trump has pointed out, to put Americans and their needs in the forefront of what they are up to. In other words, it should be America first. We cannot continue to send United States troops, men and women, to fight wars that are unwinnable. If we didn't learn anything from Vietnam, I don't know what to say. 55,000 Americans with an average age of 19 years old go set off to a war that there wasn't a chance in hell we could have won without completely carpet bombing the region. And you know something? Being victorious by eliminating entire populations is not. That's a Pyrrhic victory. That is not an acceptable victory at all. And that's exactly what we're mired into here. It's time to bring all of them home. You know, we want the region stabilized to the degree that we want to stabilize to protect our oil interests. Well, let's start fracking right here at home. Let's start, drilling right here in Anwar and other places. Let's build that pipeline. Let's build new refineries and pull our asses back from this debacle that's the Middle East, where we're constantly sacrificing the lives and blood of Americans to support a cause that we wouldn't even want on our own shores. We fight against the Islamic ideology here in America all the time, at least the radical version of it, but then we export American lives to support it in regions that have no desire for the help, don't appreciate the help, don't need the help, and murder our young people for trying to bring the help. Not pulling out would have been insane. Trump made that pretty clear when he ran for office to begin with. And it's a simple fact of the matter. It's an unwinnable war. It was 10 years ago. You know, as far as the 9/11 thing, we could have gone in and carpet bombed the entire region and called it a day instead of sacrificing American bloods on battlefields afar where there's no upside to us. And yeah, just like you, it pisses me off because it's a sacrifice that not only shouldn't be made, it's a sacrifice that, in my opinion, for our families of American fallen vets, it's a sacrifice we don't have the right to make.
There you go. Hey, you know, it's interesting you bring up the oil interests there. And this may or may not get touched. I don't know. But if you start digging a little bit, we had U.S. senators 2014, 2015 that were receiving money from Ukrainian companies. They were channeling U.S. tax dollars to Ukrainian oil and gas companies to promote them and their expansion. And at the same time, the same senators were trying to come up with legislation to keep us from fracking, not having oil pipelines. So, you know, they were increasing the price of energy to the United States really for their own personal benefit. You know, if somebody wanted a scandal, that would be something to delve into. Now, there was, you know, there's a couple layers of cutouts where the money was coming to the U.S. Senate or the senators from the Ukraine. But it's there if somebody will start digging. And I doubt it happens because it doesn't advance too many narratives. But that's something that needs to be looked into right there.
I agree.
I don't know. And then the last thing I've been thinking on, Michael, is this whole China and the NBA thing. Now, how come the American public doesn't respond the way the Chinese government has? When people disrespect the United States, I think the people of the United States, if you consider yourself an American, you ought to quit supporting those people. You know, if they had the financial backlash in the NFL, if Nike had the financial backlash in the United States, it would obviously modify their behavior, because when China threatens 10% of the net, they can't kiss butt quick enough. Does that make sense to you?
I hear you. No. You know, but Clark, the going back to the media for just a moment, the media has rebranded America as racist, bigoted, xenophobic, misogynistic, colonialistic. You have a whole segment of the population that's embarrassed to be an American. Fundamental change, yeah. Fundamental hope and change, et cetera, whatever the case may be. Going to rebrand America, rebuild it in I don't know whose image. And so when you look at things, you know, one thing you can say about the Russians or the Chinese, or hell, for that matter, the North Koreans, there is a national identity which seems to be waning in far too many parts of this country. Even in the most despotic and oppressive governments in the world, the citizens of those countries are proud to claim their heritage of those countries. Now, you chew on that for just a moment.
Yeah, well, you know, we've had one political party that has made a career out of division in this country, and they've advanced that pretty far, haven't they?
Yep, and it goes right back to the beginning of this program when we got into the battle between Pulitzer and William Hearst, going all the way back to the 1800s and the yellow journalism and how so much of the media was, even in those days, controlled by the Democrat Party. Let me just put this out there in no uncertain terms. The Democrat Party sucks, okay? And it sucks because it is the party of division, of falsehoods, of false narrative, and destruction. They create messes so that they can politically clean them up. That has been their platform for over 150 years now. They run with it as frequently as they possibly can. Too many Americans can't see through it because they're too dumbed down by also a complicit education system that also, in many cases, is run by the damn Democrats. You know exactly what's going on in this country, Clark. So do I. So do a lot of the listeners to this program. But at the end of the day, all we can really do is shrug our shoulders and wait for the next shoe to fall. And it's a damn shame. But that's one of the reasons I do this program as frequently as I can muster the energy to do it, to hopefully spread the word. Now, does it get out there? Some of the times it does, some of the times it doesn't. But whether it's Syria or China or Russia or Schiff or media or Trump or whatever the case may be, most people cannot come to terms with the fact that almost every single day, half of what they're hearing is complete BS, and it does affect their lives. And luckily, there are people like you and me and others listening to this program that are out there that get it. But unfortunately, there's a growing segment of the population that doesn't, never will, and couldn't care less.
Well, that's the ones that they're pandering to.
Yep.
Michael, I got to get back after it. Keep doing what you do.
Thanks, Clark. Have a wonderful day. I know I'm a little bit angst this morning because it needs to be spread and screamed from every tall tower. How many times? Not left versus right, but us versus them. When I say that Democrats suck, I want to clarify that to mean the party ideology. There are some Democrats in the world that are good people. Ironically enough, many of the older guard Democrats, the voters, not the leaders, are moving more towards the center. And I'm rapidly getting to a point where I'm no longer going to identify groups in this country, Democrat or Republican or even left versus right, because it's become much more insidious than to use those now antiquated descriptives. Because the reality of it is, it's a matter of good versus evil. And yeah, we're there. We're there. I can't envision a world that could exist much longer on the current course that we're on. And I am speaking from a philosophical and theological perspective. It's one thing to talk about the impeachment of Donald Trump in 2019 and make a comparison to 1972 and Agnew and Nixon and Watergate, because history is cyclical. But it's also a matter of introducing the willingness of the American news media to lie as frequently as they do. One thing, as we prepare to close today out, I want you to think about. The media has been lying or fabricating or changing or presenting stories. And it's not always, don't think it's always intentional. A lot of times it's just lackadaisical. But in years past, we never really knew it to the degree that we do today, because we didn't have a methodology for vetting out the truth. 50 years ago, you got your news from the nightly news, listened to the national anthem, went to bed, read the newspaper the next day. If a news story happened on Monday, you didn't read about it until Tuesday. You took everything at face value. Today, it's easy to do the research if you're willing to do so. But why would somebody? And I'm not talking to you necessarily directly. I'm talking about the average schmo on the street. Why does he care Adam Schiff is correct or not? We see all these fun little man on the street videos about impeaching Donald Trump. Why? He's a bad man. He touched women. He's a bigot. He's a racist. But what law did he break? Well, because people don't know. They're not paying attention. Parents aren't teaching their children. Universities are indoctrinating them, and in a lot of cases don't even know that they're doing it. But understand that the press, and the Democrat Party in particular, have been in cahoots for many, 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 many years. Folks, you don't have to take my word for it. Research the life of Joseph Pulitzer. Research the media battles between Pulitzer and Hearst. You'd think you were reading a paper that was an article that was written yesterday. The difference now, however, is the stakes are that much higher. People did not get abused or accosted or mugged in the streets at an Antifa rally. In the 1880s, people were not being brutally attacked because they were wearing a red hat. I could go on, but I think you get the point. We are a volatile society. And we are teetering on the brink of a complete breakdown of society in the next several years, if we don't understand this and check it. I want you to flash forward, if you will. Flash forward about 12 months, 13 months. Donald Trump has just been reelected. He now has nothing to lose. But the press has even less. And at this point in time, it has the potential to get ugly beyond uglies compare. You were listening to the Michael Hart Show right here on the Heart of America Broadcasting Network. Please check us out online at heartofamerica.net. Heartofamerica.net. If you enjoy what we're doing here, we would appreciate your support so very much. We will not be with you on Wednesday, the 16th, but we will return on the 17th. 8 a.m. Please tell somebody about the program. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you guys then. But always remember, don't believe anything you hear, and only half of what you see. And that's particularly true if it's coming from the national news media.
Hello, boy. Oh, my God.
Hello, boy. BK, boy. This thing is credit, but it's debit.
It's debit.
Hit that shorty once and I'll forget it.
I'll forget it.
Big boss, you better recognize. Might go Rick Ross with the curly fries. Sipping Hennessy, a dirty Sprite. Doing 180 down the Tom Pike. She on her cell phone, I'm feeling up her thighs. What you like, look. I just like what you like. Came up out the dark with this chain, give me the...
I'll be back.